Welcome to the Gensler Design Podcast. The Gensler Design Podcast creates a dialogue between design experts, creative trend centers, and thought leaders to discuss how we can shape the future of cities through the power of design. I'm your host, David Calkins, the Regional Managing Principal of Gensler's Asia Pacific and Middle East region. In the past 18 months, we've witnessed an extraordinary resurgence in both domestic and international travel. Business trips and leisure adventures are on the rise as consumer expectations evolve. As a result, the hospitality sector is experiencing a profound shift propelled by changing consumer preferences, technological progress, and a growing emphasis on wellness. This evolution necessitates that hotels and related establishments proactively anticipate and respond to these shifts to meet the expectations of today's discerning guests. To help us dissect these trends and understand their implications, I'm glad to have Kirk Ellis with us. Kirk is Gensler APME's Director of Hospitality, and he brings a wealth of experience and expertise to the conversation. Hey, Kirk, how are you today?
Hey, David, I'm great. Thanks. Always good to talk with you. We see each other all the time in the office, but it's always good to talk with you in this format too.
Well, it's great to have you on the podcast. You're based in Singapore like I am, and you're a hospitality pro. So you've been in the industry for a long time, have designed a whole wide variety of facilities for hospitality and in various locations around the world. Can you give us a little bit of a snapshot of your background and also talk about your connections to Asia?
Sure. You know, David, I feel really fortunate. I've spent 30 years working in hospitality design, and that was my first job out of university. I was just looking for a job, had a connection, and it happened to be a person who was designing resorts mostly in Asia, but he was based in the Los Angeles area where I grew up. I was just super fortunate. And when I got in as a fresh graduate, junior architect, I started learning about this fantastic, complex relationship between a guest experience, especially in resorts, the operation of the hotel, and yet we as architects, designers, we've got to make this all come together. And I was bitten by the bug then. So it was no going back. I've really, really enjoyed all of my time in the industry. That's my basic background. My connection to Asia, I started coming to Asia first in 2010. And that fit me well because just having grown up in the U.S., I was always looking for other cultural experiences. And so I lived in Shanghai, lived in Bangkok, and I'm now in Singapore. I think for me, what's been very fortunate too, is that the opportunity, it's a very fresh look at what's going on. Europe, North America, pretty mature markets, and there's just so much going on. So I've been really happy to be working in Asia for quite some while now.
So you talked about a lot going on in the industry. Could you talk specifically about what the changes have been in the last 5 years, let's say? Obviously, a lot of things in the world have happened since then, but what are you seeing in the hospitality industry across our region?
Sure. I design buildings and actually I oversee the integration of designs of different consultants plus our own teams. But I've always enjoyed focusing on the operations business side of what our clients, the developer or the hotelier, what they're looking at. And I've always found that to be fascinating just personally, professionally, but actually I believe helps us to design better. So I'm going to answer that question by what I've been hearing from them the past 5 years, pre, during, and post COVID. First of all, the hotel part of the hospitality industry is a pretty slow changing, slow evolving industry. It's kind of like the big freighter ship. That's because there's so much complexity in each hotel building. There's so much investment, and those buildings last a long time that it has to be a little bit foolproof or future proof. So not a whole lot of revolutionary changes. What did change through COVID in Asia, the sales and expectation of different markets. So Chinese tourism, we all know, up huge in Southeast Asia, pulled back during COVID, coming back now. But on the economics, sales, and how they operate the hotel, they've kind of countered that. And that's what all the big conferences they've talked about. We've figured out how to work around this. So for us as designers, there's not a huge impact in that. I think where we start to see an impact is people absolutely are looking for experiences. And that's the experience economy, which we've known about for quite a long time, that grew out of retail. In that, the guest room is still the guest room. Your bed, your good shower, your comfortable bedding, et cetera. So that's always going to be foundational. I think the changes that are just actually starting to come about, which is the exciting part, is F&B, food and beverage, is really going to be changing. Because in this day of, depends on your region, if it's DoorDash or Uber Eats or wherever you live, those services now can deliver any meal into the hotel. And this is actually a point that the CEO of Accor, the big French company, Sebastien Bazet, made in a conference last year of hotel investment people. It's like, we got to keep rethinking this. So there's some exciting things that are opening up. And that's some of the growth that's coming. But this, you know, the foundational parts of a hotel, a good room, good lobby experience, meeting rooms when it's needed in the market, those are still going to remain there.
Talking about the future, looking forward, what strategies can designers use to influence the future of hospitality experiences as we move forward?
I think, you know, when we work with clients, again, because the architecture part of a hotel is such a long-term build, we're thinking 40 years in the future, the guest room, we have to kind of commit to something very early on. And there's a lot of variety we could do for the guest room part, but there's just not a lot of opportunity or risk-taking in doing that. So let's kind of put the guest room part aside for a bit. As designers, a mixed-use hotel, where it's really embedded with other services around it, it's retail, it's office, it's good public place, that's really where the fun and the magic is now. On the investment side, what I keep hearing from our clients is those mixed-use projects sometimes can be better to help carry the costs of the hotel, which is expensive to build, or, which we again are doing quite a lot of now, including branded residential. Branded residential is just taking off as a part of the industry. It's valued by the guest. It's valued by people to own something that's branded. It's valued by the operators to say we have another vehicle to sell a room night to and an experience to a guest. So as designers, then that gives us another chance to help to really knit more opportunities into each hotel property.
I've noticed it seems like the trend is toward personalization in terms of what the brands are doing. And it seems like technology is being leveraged to achieve some of that. How are hotels leveraging data and technology to craft these tailored experiences for the individual guests?
Yeah, so again, I'm going to answer it in two different channels. One, what I hear from our clients, people who are in the industry, the pre-sales, pre-marketing, during your experience and post-experience, that loyalty is really, really important. You know, that's why Marriott has more than 30 brands, Hilton, Accor. They're actually looking for that brand loyalty, that people stay in their system. And they've been able to really use the fluidity of that online marketing and digital. And that's just a part of the world we live in. For the cornerstone of a good hotel, unless it's truly just businesses, you're looking for an experience that's beyond your daily experience, right? As you just said, David, you go to a nice hotel, you want to have something feel better than what you have at home. A little romantic, a little aspirational, a little bit maybe educational, adventurous. And so digital technology, how can we embed digital design? How can we embed crossover events that are cultural events that come to the hotel or vice versa? That sort of exchange, it's really the soft goods part of it. It's people and programs. The key is our buildings have to support those. And that's where it's still important to make sure that the hotel planning and interior design can flex or at least accommodate those things. And that's what I see our role really being as we go forward.
I wonder if you could sort of look at the future of hotel staffing. I think a shortage of workers is in many industries has been a problem worldwide, but how do you think technology can help sort of offset or make staffing issues easier as we go forward?
Yes, this is definitely an issue as far as the pain point of staffing is really tough right now in the industry. We've expanded the offering to the guest. And when we design hotels, when we're working with that operator brand and developer, hopefully the owner, we're always talking about its opportunities. What are your choices for your investment in this, which you're going to bring to market? Some guests really still want to have that personal experience. I've traveled long in a different place and I'm an extrovert, whatever your story is. So we're just adding another channel, which is the positive part. Just like a good lobby design actually allows people to kind of choose their level of engagement, right? Some people want to be right in the middle. Everyone needs to see me in my beautiful gown or whatever it is. Or some people like to tuck away and really be off the side. And by having that sort of stratification of experience, now go to public spaces, go to check-in experience, go to the online. That's only adding to the power of what a hotel can provide. As far as the staffing part, it's a great question you brought up because even at this year's HICAP, Hotel Investment Conference Asia Pacific, it was talked about that in the crunch that there is right now for staffing, which does affect us design-wise, there's really a focus to keep those staff forward-facing to the guests. Keep those people facing out so that it's a good smile, a good, helpful, can I even foresee something coming? That's the service level that people need to feel like they're experiencing something different from home. And also that's the experience level that will keep brand loyalty. So we're trying to maximize the back-of-house side of any for sort of efficiencies. But everything I hear from all the different operators, we're not looking to minimize the upfront, front of house, guest engaging side of things. In fact, that technology is going to free them up to be a little bit more able to get off the keyboard. You've seen front desks obviously evolve. It's more pod-like now. Some now are just tablet-based. And that the whole reason is, how can we engage with you as a fellow traveler, whatever, and less about like you're going to the bank, that sort of thing. And those are all positive changes that we then as designers actually end up very specifically supporting.
Well, that approach on the basis of the operators makes great sense to me. I would admit that particularly on business travel, I'm a pretty self-sufficient traveler, but it seems like I want to be in touch with a person directly when I've got a problem, for instance. I mean, it might be something like my television isn't working in my room. You know, how do I fix that? And I freely admit some of those issues might be user problems, but still I need to have somebody, you know, give me sort of an instant lesson. I don't necessarily want to go type something into a help desk, right, that's online. I want to get it taken care of.
Again, to that point, that's why all the operators are looking at, let's keep those forward-facing people there. And that's why, since you mentioned this, you know, staffing challenges post-COVID, especially Southeast Asia, there's just a staffing crisis, not as many people available. Tourism is coming back, as you said, for sure. And so right now, there is a huge focus. Every staff dining area we design now, it is a restaurant level. It's got to have natural light. It is meant to feel like a restaurant because all of the operators take their staff very seriously. It's their number one capital investment beyond the actual building for operating costs. So therefore, we as designers take that very seriously too.
So really across the world, in so many different settings, we're hearing about AI. We're hearing a lot of speculation on what AI will do or what it won't do eventually going forward. But within the realm of hospitality, what is the potential of AI as we go into the future?
So this is less of my expertise, so I'll answer carefully so I don't have anybody who's listening. You can correct me if you like. So on the how they sell the experience and sell the services of a hotel, I think there'll be a lot of opportunity to do some probably pre-filtering, figuring out what people's profiles are. Again, the soft goods side, that's probably easy to do. The brick and mortar of a hotel, whether it's the architecture, the interior design, whatever, I think, again, to digital media and integration, some choices that we've already seen that change over time, that will happen. You know, people have toyed with the idea of, can we have guest rooms that get set up for a person's preference? That's always been this sort of hypothetical, could we do it? It's just too costly to do. And I don't see AI changing that. You know, it's interesting for us as designers, also people saying, AI is going to replace some of the functions. I still believe, and the people who work at hoteliers and people who work in the brand, the operator side too, is there's so much complexity to a hotel, much like a hospital, that AI could do some things to make some tasks efficient for us to do studies to evaluate design space layout. But that final knitting of everything together, which goes back to a business plan for the operator, the business plan of the developer, how you're selling this hotel in the market, that's still got to have that human touch to have some nuance to it. And so AI doesn't threaten me, I don't feel, what we're doing.
Well, in fact, that's our very approach to design technology too within the firm. Human designers are always going to have to lead the process, but that our tools, our digital tools, AI tools, just help to generate options, evaluate them, and ultimately help our clients to make better decisions, right? I mean, isn't that the approach we take? You mentioned the tremendous proliferation of brands out there within overall parent companies. I mean, it's staggering almost now when you go to some of the different brands' websites to see all the different sub-brands. I imagine that there is an amount of rebranding and reflagging of existing facilities out there, particularly as they're aging and they're needing to be repositioned. Can you talk about innovative approaches that we can employ to help these facilities to remain competitive?
Yeah, this is another exciting evolution for hospitality design and the hotel industry. A couple of specifics. Yes, there's now a lot of specific brands within the Marriott family, Hilton family, Accor, et cetera. And there's business reasons behind that. Again, brand loyalty is one of the biggest ones. Keep people in your loyalty program. I think the biggest benefit to the guest and the traveler has been there's now a huge variety of lifestyle brands, select service, still traditional luxury brands that you would expect, a Waldorf Astoria, you know, even a Sofitel, a more modern take. But, you know, there's those core brands you know what the DNA is. And now with the emergence, especially in the past 10 years, but it started more than that, is lifestyle brands allow some flexibility. It benefits the parent company. It benefits the traveler too. Like, I want to keep my Marriott points, but you know what? This, or my Accor points, let's say. Let's go with Accor. And the Ho Chi Minh City M Gallery Hotel, a heritage building with a great art collection, but small guest rooms actually, that's where I want to stay because I love the feeling and I want to see the art collection that happens to be there. Again, we've just given now a whole new opportunity for how guests can experience hotels. It is a fun challenge for us as designers because within a parent company, Accor, Hilton, Marriott, etc., we have to be careful. We are stewards of their brand. And so when the brand is, let's say it's DoubleTree by Hilton, Hilton doesn't want that design to grow and feel, start feeling like it's a standard, straightforward Hilton flag, nor do they want that to feel designed down to be like a Hilton Garden Inn. That is a serious responsibility that we as designers bear to make sure we're delivering the right product in the marketplace. So that brand expansion, it creates this interesting challenge for us. And of course, then looking laterally to their competitors, how do we make sure that DoubleTree by Hilton is positioned better or looking comparable, whatever, to a Courtyard by Marriott, et cetera. That is the fun part of what we're doing now with that expansion of brands.
Well, Kirk, something that's really fundamentally important to Gensler at this moment in time is doing eco-friendly design for our clients, designing sustainability and resilient new buildings and even repositioning old ones. Can you talk a little bit about what steps hotels are taking to bring sustainable design into their projects?
Yeah, this is definitely, fortunately, I'm very happy. I've been in this industry for 30 years now, and the past 10 years, it's really taken very seriously by the operators and the investors. I'll go back to my metaphor of the hotel industry being a slow-moving cargo ship, though. It is tough to change that. So let's talk about a couple of things that can be done and are being done now. So when we look at designing a hotel, like I said, we design these things to be 40 years at least of structure. So that concrete, all the embedded carbon, a project we have in Thailand right now, we're trying to cut out between 8 to 10% of concrete of the structural design. Just guests would never see it, not for cost reasons, just to minimize that impact. Those are things we're able to do, but honestly, it's shaving percentage points off of the whole equation. So that's something. But for hotels, the operating expense and operating impact really is water and electricity. That's still a big thing. The water part has been addressed. There's much more efficiency in some systems, which is great. That comes from both the operator side, but also other consultants. And again, that's the beauty of hotel design. Like when we design a hotel as architects, there's 14, 15 consultants involved. They're so complex. So one industry, mechanical equipment, plumbing equipment, they might be able to make some efficiency changes, whereas we as architects can't quite do so much. So the water part has been changing a little, but existing hotels, it's tough to turn that around. Two, electricity. There actually has been a lot of great changes, and this is the integration of new intelligent systems for management systems. Yes, there's a cost, but once we get that into a guest room, that is now managing the energy in the hotel. So for example, the new Pan Pacific on Orchard Road in Singapore, great example of when the guest is out of the room, the roller blinds go down because obviously we have a lot of solar heat gain here in Singapore. That then keeps the room a little bit cooler, which means you're using the AC a little bit less. Though all those little measures count, especially when you have a 200, 300 room property. So those things, again, incremental improvements, but definitely needed. And the cost of those room management systems has come down greatly over the years. Those are good things. Here's, I think, the thing that goes back to ESG. The thing that we can change much more readily now is food waste and how F&B is done. So the old days of, the huge buffet, and tragically, so much food gets thrown out. And the operators all know that. And there is a both social conscious as well as operating cost focus to improve that. Some brands are on the front edge of the curve. Some brands or operators are not there yet. I think that's where a lot of local operators really have to pay attention. A lot of local people have their own hotels. We as designers, it's going to change how we lay out F&B again also. It's going to change a bit of the back of house. So it's all that embedded energy that's into the food that's grown, transportation, prepped, cooked, scraped, and it's out to the trash. And that's that cycle that if we can minimize that, it's going to decrease or have a small impact on sustainable design. ESG, taking things away from the community and being a better neighbor, that's the big impact. I think that's a real positive.
That is great. And even small changes add up to make a big difference. So we'll remain committed to seeing that our buildings at least do less harm to the environment.
Yeah, let me add one more point on that. Again, when we go to design a hotel with a client, which I'm doing many right now in our region, we approach as being an advocate. We're the client's advocate. It's a huge investment. It takes 4 years to design a hotel and get it built. There's a lot of decision-making that is really forward thinking, at least predictions or best guesses, you know, based on some analysis. So it takes all those different design partners, including the operator, including the owner, to make these decisions early if possible. And then once a building's built, to again circle back with the right advocates, consultants, to look at what can we change and modify. It's rarely a one channel solution like that. And that's what I love about the industry. It's very complex and interwoven. But two, that's where we, in our role as architects and interior designers and planners too, really can help to guide that process, whether it's existing or new build.
Well, let's pursue that a little bit because, I mean, one of the things I think is great about the way you approach things is you really understand the industry. You understand what our clients are trying to achieve. You know, you've got an eye on trying to keep the first cost of the construction low. You're also really trying to help the operator enhance revenue over time too. But it can't just be about that. I mean, we as designers and being advocates for our clients have to bring in the aesthetic and the functional part of things too. And, you know, what's going to make the property delightful in the case of hospitality for people to stay. How do you navigate that balancing act and get to some kind of equilibrium?
Yeah. So this is things I've learned from others. The core is, again, as I've said, because hotels specifically are such big investments, they need to generate revenue because they pay back loans over a long period of time, and that revenue generation is very important. But it's tied back to a guest experience. That guest experience has got to be special, unique, and competitive in the marketplace. There's that beautiful, you know, dichotomy almost of generate revenue off of giving a great experience. So the focus on the business part, I think we as designers inherently, anyone in the general public would know, architects, interior designers, we create beautiful spaces. That's what people assume to be what we do. And we do that. And we have many beautiful projects. What I've heard from hotel operators and some owners in the past was that, okay, it was beautiful. I paid for this material and it wore out in a year. Or I paid for this and I now have a big lobby and it costs a lot to clean, maintain. I have empty chairs all the time. That's where I started to realize, oh, they just made a huge investment. And you know, how can we as designers be a little more thoughtful, have some perspective into their business? And that's really where it's just come from. So yes, it's absolutely balanced between the aesthetic, which we're trained to do in university and through our careers. But that investment part is super important to our clients. And if they have a profitable hotel, they're going to put a lot of that money back into renovations. As you talked at the beginning, Dave, about guest experience, they're going to put that into programming. So it actually benefits all those travelers in the future too, the better it performs. So it's not a singular focus. It's just sometimes that business side of our client gets overshadowed by the design. Beautiful part. And that's why I always making sure that those scales are balanced in any design meeting we have with clients.
So if the pandemic taught us anything, it seems like it's that we can't have economic health in the world unless we have human health. And so there's a huge focus on wellness, even more and more emphasis on that as we sort of go through our daily lives. So given everything that we've been through in terms of health in the last several years, how important is wellness in hospitality settings as we look forward?
Yeah, I'll answer this in a couple of ways as well. What I've learned from our clients, and I really also stay really close to the operators and brands. It's always interesting to see how they see the upcoming market. Those changes are really, again, in the soft goods. It's the systems that are there. How do we provide something for a guest? The opportunity for truly are people focused on an experience that's more than just a bed, a hot shower, my free meal for breakfast, and I'm out the door. That's definitely coming on the demand side from traveling guests, whether it's for leisure or for business. How that results in design changes, it's not really like a tidal wave of change. So spas, which can add on service to be more wellness focused, whether it be yoga, whatever, bringing in Reiki people, different things that are different offerings. If we design a building well, we should have some flexibility in that space that it can mutate over time to provide that new service, unless there's specific equipment that's needed. So on the architecture side, it's not quite changing as much of what we do. Interior design wise, yeah, because again, all the pieces that go into a space, from lighting to what we call FF&E, furniture, fixtures, and equipment, all those things that people see, and then integrating with the OS&E, operating systems and equipment, what the owner provides, all that has to get knit together by we as the interior designers. That's starting to change as there's different needs. But again, it's really going to come back to it's what the property's offering And I think the biggest thing that is changing is, as I mentioned before, the opportunity and engagement with local community. Connecting people to that authentic experience, that's the value part. That's the value add that people are willing to pay for. It doesn't have to go back to the bricks and mortar, electricity, lighting, air conditioning to make that experience happen. That's really where the change is coming.
So beyond hospitality, we've witnessed other sectors incorporating hospitality elements into design features. How has this impacted overall customer experience? Can you talk about other sort of practice areas that are impacting or being impacted by hospitality design?
Yeah, and this is actually one of the really, I think, fun, exciting changes in built environment supporting people, societies, groups, activities, is that hospitality sensibility is bleeding out into other built environments. And it's doing that for a good reason. Hospitality, hotels, restaurants, clubs, bars, conferences, that it's always been something that people have expectations. It's got to be something special, good. It's also about the service that comes with it, really. Our buildings are the backdrop that the service that's provided is really what the guest is engaging with. People are like, I have such a good feeling here, and yet I hate my experience at the bank, for example, or wherever. It was a natural for that to bleed over because it doesn't take too much, but it does take someone, and we as interior designers and architects for hospitality, there's certain kind of rules of thumb that we'll always look at and say, oh, we always should be doing this. Seating is a great example, right? We're doing this a lot right now in Southeast Asia in high net worth banking situations, basically. Instead of just having a lobby with a few chairs, how can we provide a good tea for a person? How can we provide a light snack for a person? How is that delivered? How is it recovered, taken back out? Fresh cut flowers, you know, all those different layers that's normal for a hotel designer to look at. It's not hard to add them into those spaces. But it does take that thoughtfulness. And that thoughtfulness is we are creating an ambiance for someone to come into that's meant to be enveloping and meant to be different from their daily routine. That's absolutely the essence of hospitality. And it has to engage and integrate that service component. When we do that then in these different settings, it does bring them to life. And I think this is super exciting because it's a natural thing. It's only making people's lives better. And for us as a design firm, because we do have these different expertise. We are experts in banking types of, in office types of environments and healthcare, et cetera. When we can cross-pollinate those things, it just makes all those experiences for the end user so much better because we're really good at all those different components. And I'm really proud of that, actually, that we're able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're in high design these days, you and your approach to things. And so, and I think it's right. And it's only helping improve the experience, everyday experience for people who are using buildings, using the spaces that we design. Looking ahead, you all are always looking ahead. You talked a little bit about a few things in the future, but what do you see? What are some of the factors that are going to shape the future of the hospitality industry as we go into the next decade or so?
Oh boy. Okay. So my crystal ball is smaller than others, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And I'll answer that as a designer who pays attention to the business side of what our clients are doing. A good hotel will always need to have the basics. I think the efficiency of space, use of space, is becoming more critical. Therefore, overbuilding some properties is becoming less palatable. That's a positive. Use less equipment, use less materials, use less energy to cool the building. So that's one change that's going to be coming. Like I said, the F&B changes that are going to be coming, I think that's exciting, especially in Asia Pacific. There's just so much food-oriented parts of life, right? It's so much, and to have that, how it's going to engage and connect and draw people in, draw people out, that's also so exciting. And how can we get people to have that meaningful food or beverage experience in our hotel? As designers, I love that sort of challenge. How can we knit that? So that's going to continue to change a bit. Like I said, the programming part, engaging people in activities, getting people out in the community, community coming in, that'll continue to evolve. The biggest thing I think that's going to really evolve over the next little bit here, though, is costs have gone up greatly for the few staff, you know, the tight staffing market that's there. Energy costs have gone up. The hotel brands all talk about really being super efficient and needing sharp people to be able to run a very efficient hotel building. And so therefore, how we also take care of the staff in a hotel, that'll continue to be really high priority. And the guests might not see that, really. But we as designers, we do take care of that. We take care of all the office space. We take care of the changing rooms, the clinic room for the nurse who's on property, all these different things. That's just becoming more important, which I think is a good respect for the community that hotel is put in.
Well, thank you, Kirk. This has been a great discussion. Do you have any sort of final thoughts for any of our team or our clients or prospective clients out there in Asia?
Oh, David, thanks. It's always fun talking with you, and I love talking about this. I guess the biggest thing is, you know, I love working in this industry, and I feel privileged to be able to work related to the hospitality industry. And the biggest thing that I always focus on, which is important to remember, is we're creating experiences for people. And whether it's the staff at the property, which really does matter, but our guests also, and we can't put our guests into one box. It's always about how can we provide different opportunities to evolve for guests to have that experience. That's what it all comes down to. I think that's the beauty of it, really, is that guest experience that we're trying to get.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time today. Kirk, your insights have been invaluable. We see that it's important for the hospitality sector to be adaptable, innovative, and receptive to emerging trends, ensuring that they craft unforgettable guest experiences while upholding their fundamental values of sustainability and guest experience and also profitability, too. In doing so, they can not only thrive, but also play a pivotal role in shaping the future of hospitality. I'd like to thank Kirk for sharing his wealth of knowledge. We hope this discussion has provided all of our audience with profound insights and inspiration. Until next time, thank you for tuning in. I'm David Calkins, and I will see you on the next podcast.